Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. James Westminster on this first Sunday of Daylight Savings Time. Glad to see that everyone made it, and we'll get to see who shows up an hour late for church today. So keep your eyes open, and this is the one day it's completely okay to judge your neighbors. Welcome. There's just a couple of things going on in the parish that I'd like to draw your attention to. In the hall during coffee hour, please do sign up for the parish Get to Know You lunches. There's a number of parishioners that have agreed to host gatherings. That could be at lunch, it could be a dinner, it could be a brunch. And there's a few places left and some that are big enough for families to join. So if you are new to the parish or you'd like to make new friends, which, you know, we can all use more friends, please do consider signing up for one of those gatherings. Community is so important. It's one of the things that we do well at St. James. So please be part of that. I believe that's all that I have.
Return to me, return to me. God calls, return to me, to our heart, to our home, to God alone. We turn to you, O God, return to
once again at our Lenten pathway on our journey deeper and deeper and deeper into the heart of God. We've been doing this for a long time now. Doesn't it feel like we've been doing this a long time? Have you ever been on a journey where you get kind of tired and maybe super thirsty? Like that happens to my grandson. Or do you get hangry every now and again? You just get fed up? Yes, yes. Well, today, you're going to hear about how our friend Jesus can be just like a fresh, cold glass of water, refreshing us and being with us as we journey deeper and deeper, as we pray and hear stories and learn more about following Jesus and loving God. So we're going to light another candle on our pathway, and we're going to say a prayer, and we're going to move our people further along the pathway, which you can help do now if everybody takes a turn and grabs some of our little people and moves them to our next stop. And, yep, you can just walk them along the pathway. Yep. Closer and closer. See how we're going around and around to God? Do you want to move some more people? We got a lot to move here, don't we? I like how that they're very close and cozy to the candle, so they stay warm in the wilderness. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Well, while we're finishing that journey, we're going to say a prayer. And we're going to remember, wouldn't it be cool if we could hold water in the palm of our hand? Do you see what we're adding here today is little drops of water to remember how Jesus is just like a fresh glass of water on the long, long journey. We're going to repeat after me. Holy God, shine your light to guide our feet. Holy God, shine your light to guide our feet. There we go. Show your love to all we meet.
Show your love to all we meet.
As we journey together and follow your way.
As we journey together, follow your way.
May we grow closer to you each day.
May we grow closer to you each day.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ gives the water of eternal life, may we always thirst for you, the spring of life and the source of goodness, through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before the presence of the Lord with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to God with songs. For you, O Lord, are a great God, and a great sovereign above all gods. In your house
ends of the earth, and the heights of the hills are yours also. The sea is yours, for you made it, and your hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture, and the sheep of your hand. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will follow the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So today we read from John 4, verse 5 to 42. I think that might be in contention for the longest gospel reading, and Jerry did a fabulous job, as she always does. But man, is there a lot to go over in that gospel. There are so many really interesting tidbits that I get down a rabbit hole on. Our Wednesday morning Eucharist that happens at 10 o'clock, usually about 12 to 15 people come together, and we have a conversation about the readings. It's so helpful for Anne and I to hear where people are at. Well, last Wednesday, with these readings, we talked about them for 45 minutes and then proceeded to rush through the rest of the service and get everybody out on time. But 45 minutes of conversation, it was fabulous. There are so many interesting things in this gospel reading, and it's hard to pull one out to give a sermon on it. Things like the woman coming to the well at noon. Well, noon is a terrible time to do anything in the Middle East because it's so hot. So clearly, Jesus is somewhere where he shouldn't be, meeting someone who shouldn't be there, all at the wrong time for all the right reasons. Very cool discussion that we had about 10 minutes on that. Then we talked about the husband situation of the woman, and is Jesus judging her when saying, "No, you've had 5 husbands, and the one that you're with now isn't your husband"? What was Jesus's intention behind that? Going all the way to Jesus's disciples coming up and being like, "Hey, do you want a sandwich?" And missing the whole point entirely. There are so many wonderful things in this that it's hard to pull out just one to look at and say, what should we talk about today? I'm going to do my best, though. And the one that strikes out to me, the one that Jerry picked up on with the kids and the beautiful glass beads that symbolizes water, is Jesus calling himself living water. Now, years ago, I was blessed to spend time in Israel on a pilgrimage while I was still in seminary. And one night, we went out into the Negev desert and actually spent a night out under the stars. It was beautiful. But the Bedouin in the area were telling stories, and one of the things that they shared with us is that water is so precious in the desert, obviously, but they've developed so many rules around it. When we talk about Jacob's well, there's an ownership tied to that well. Jacob and his descendants are allowed to use that well, but other people aren't. In desert cultures, if you have spent the energy and the effort to secure a source of water, that's for you, and no one is allowed to come by and take it unless they pay you or you give permission. Except for those places where water naturally comes forth from the earth. And the Bedouin call those springs living water. When Jesus calls himself living water, he says that he is a free gift available for anyone to receive. As human beings, we like to draw boxes around things. We like to say, well, we belong to Jesus in this way. And we see it in the gospel reading as well. The Samaritan woman, when she realizes Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, her first question is, who does it right? The Samaritans or the Jews? Do we worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem? Do we worship here at St. James or do we worship over at Wesley Knox? And we all know St. James is the right answer. I'm sorry, Pastor Rob. But we all want to create little blocks. We want to fit Jesus into the way that we do things. And in this story, Jesus says, no, I am living water. Anyone can come to me and receive what they need. And it's really interesting to me that it is those Samaritans, the ones who don't share anything in common with the Jews, those who are outcast or separated or different, who hear the testimony about Jesus and come out to meet him. They come out to meet him and they ask him to stay. And at the end of that gospel reading, we hear their statement. We no longer believe because you told us, but we believe because we've heard from Jesus and have heard the word ourselves. The people that weren't part of the club got it and saw the power of what Jesus was doing. And his disciples, those who've been following him from the very beginning, ask him, do you want a sandwich? They miss the point entirely. Isn't that interesting? That those of us who have followed this path, I think sometimes we get used to hearing the good news. Things like Jesus loves you and died for your sins, forgave you and values you, become platitudes. We hear them every Sunday. We miss their power. And for those who are hearing them for the first time, or who are re-engaging with them and hearing Jesus say, I love you. That is powerful. We can often get caught up in the mundane things of ordinary life. This morning, I had 3 alarm clocks set to go off for daylight savings time because I don't know if my iPhone automatically updates or doesn't update, so I can't trust that. So I've got to get Heather's wake-up light with the glowing sunshine, and I have to manually program that one. And then I have to make sure that that one doesn't change for daylight savings time. I got so focused up on the little, everyday, ordinary things that I miss the fact that God is present in it all. God is present in waking up early for daylight savings time. God is present in the person sitting next to you. God is present in this place, and God is present in the community around us. God is doing something. And even those mundane, simple, ordinary things have spiritual impact. I'll admit that sometimes I wish I could see with spiritual eyes. Occasionally, when I'm feeling down and out and sorry for myself, try to imagine what it would be like to see with those spiritual eyes. When I'm on my way home from church and I drive past the McDonald's on Warrencliff and I don't pull in and I honor my Lenten disciplines, I like to imagine the angels giving a big cheer and the noble army of martyrs with banners furled following behind the car saying, yes, look at him proclaiming the good news, not giving in to temptation. It helps. And it's not untrue. God loves us. And God recognizes that we are spiritual beings as much as we are physical ones. The things that we do matter. And they have spiritual impact. Our first reading with Moses ends with this. He named the place Meribah and Massah, for they tested the Lord and asked, is the Lord here or not? Isn't that a question that we all ask? Isn't that a question that sometimes we don't even bother to think about? Because we assume, probably not. But the answer is yes. God is present here with us right now. God is present in our lives. God is present in this world. God is doing something. And every action and decision that we take rings with spiritual implication. It's not always easy to remember that. So if you need an army of martyrs behind you carrying banners when you make the right decision, you've got one. If you wake up and think, no, I really should get out of bed and not sleep in and head to church, know that the spiritual realm is cheering for that. What we do matters. What we do makes a difference. And being a part of God's church is a blessing for each and every one of us. For we know the answer to the question that was asked, is God here or not? The answer is God is here. Love is here. And for that, we can be thankful. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. In the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people.
In your loving kindness, Lord, refresh and hear our prayer. Lord of the wilderness and water, at times we thirst and grow weary on our journeys. Sustain us and refresh our Lenten commitments to simplify and focus on your example. It can feel as if worries are trying to overwhelm us at times. Like those who complained to Moses, we can miss the known and familiar and feel unsure of what is happening around us or where it is all leading. Like the Samaritan woman and the disciples looking on, we can feel confused by what you offer. Help us look beyond our differences as you ask us to renew relationships and communities built on compassion. In your loving kindness, Lord, refresh us and hear our prayer. Thank you for our clergy, Michael, Anne, and Jerry, who are role models of compassionate relationship building within our community. Thank you for all those in our parish, deanery, and diocese who offer a welcoming and understanding smile to another, who offer hospitality and build connections amongst people, and who provide encouragement during challenging times. In your loving kindness, Lord, refresh us and hear our prayer. Although we ask that you support each of us in every small step we take, we also pray for those in positions of authority and leadership in Canada and around the world, whose decisions and actions are having such far-reaching and profound effects. We pray that our national leaders will be guided by your wisdom in all the complex decisions they are called upon to make. Help each of us to resist the temptation to retreat into fear and judgment during these times of uncertainty. In your loving kindness, Lord, in our local community, we pray for those struggling with the effects of social, political, and economic anxiety. Help our local leaders and each one of us
to be part of the process of making our community more compassionate as we respond to the housing, health, and mental health crises. In our community, we particularly pray for Stavros, Terry, Cheryl, Lori, Charles and family, Imelda, and all the new tenants who are moving into the Indwell program this month and next month. In your loving kindness, Lord, refresh us and hear our prayer. We remember those who have died and those who are near death, praying that your presence and reassurance is felt during these times. In your loving kindness, Lord, refresh us and hear our prayer. Thank you for your ongoing companionship as we engage in this Lenten pilgrimage. Help us endure as we continue to look to you with hope. Keep us safe from tests too great, and help us to continue to support one another during this journey. In your loving kindness, Lord,
refresh us and hear our prayer.
Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
spring of life and source of goodness. Receive all we offer you this day and bring us to the living water, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We give thanks to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth, because you bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that, reborn through the waters of baptism and renewed in the Eucharistic mystery, we may be more fervent in prayer and more generous in the works of love. Therefore, we raise our voices to you in praise to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, and we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we live with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us stand and continue in prayer. God of our pilgrimage, we have found the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forth on our journey. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. May the God of mercy transform you by his grace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. My friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks.